The verse in Tehillim says, a song to Asaf. We know that Korach had a few children. And Korach's children, they didn't go down. Let's quickly review the story. We had Moshe led us out of Egypt. And at some point during Moshe's leadership, we don't know exactly when the story happened, in the second year in the desert, the 40th year in the desert, at some point there was a mutiny. Korach got together with his men and he said, Moshe, Aaron, why are you taking all the honor to yourself? Moshe, you're the leader. Aaron, you're the high priest. What is this? We don't believe that God ever said that things should be this way. Maybe things should be different. And Moshe said, Moshe tried to appease them. Moshe tried to convince them that they shouldn't rebel. Whatever Moshe said, they made fun of, until finally Moshe said, okay. Moshe saw that the Jewish people were being swayed, and Moshe said, you know what? If they're right, then they'll live. And if they're wrong, then they not only will die, but they'll die a special death, that the ground will open up and they'll be swallowed. And they and their children and all their belongings, suddenly the ground opened up and they were all swallowed in, Korach and his men. And as they were being swallowed, Korach's children repented and they shot up. They remained alive. And they became great men in Jewish history, Korach's children. They compiled verses in Tehillim. And Korach remained down under, and to this day there's a place out in the desert where, if we'd only know where, Rabbi Akiva once was wondering where it is. An Arab said to him, come, I'll show you where it is. He took him out to the desert, told him, listen down here. And Moshe listened, and he heard a man calling out, Moshe emes v'toroso emes. Moshe is true, and his Torah is true, and that's the place where Korach's still down there, proclaiming that he was wrong and Moshe is true. So, Korach's what?
Gehenim.
Okay. So, Korach's children, they lived. And they compiled a verse about the future, about the time when the temple would be destroyed. We have a tradition that there were two great men that God said, whatever they built has to remain eternal. And they are Moshe and David. Whatever Moshe erected, remained. That's why all of Moshe's vessels were hidden long before the destruction of the first temple. The king Yoshio concealed them. And whatever David erected also remained. And that's why we have tradition that when it came time to destroy the first temple, the verse states, the offsprings of Korach prophesied about a time when Tav'u ba'aretz she'areh, the gates of Zion were buried into the ground. They were swallowed up. We have a tradition that when it came time for Jerusalem to be destroyed, the gates that King David erected, they were swallowed, they were absorbed into the ground. The rest of the city was destroyed and those gates were absorbed. The enemies never got their hands on them. And the question is, what interest do these children of Korach have talking about gates that would be swallowed into the ground years later? And the Midrash explains it with the following parable. The Midrash says, there was once a maid from a simple house. She went out to the city well, and she started drawing water. And as she's drawing, the bucket falls off the string. Her earthenware bucket falls into the ground. And she sits there next to the well, crying. And she thinks she's going to be in such trouble. Who's going to help her take out the bucket? Her bucket's lost, and her master's going to be so upset at her. And as she's sitting there, the maid from the king's house comes with her gold bucket, and she lets it down the line, and her well falls into the well. And when her bucket falls into the well, so the first maid is happy. So she turns to her and she says, my bucket fell down, you're happy? What are you happy about? So she says, look, my earthenware bucket, no one would come down here to help me take out. But your gold bucket, they're not going to leave down there. Whoever's going to take out your gold bucket is going to take out my bucket. They're going down already. So I'll get my bucket back. So the Midrash says that's what happened with Korach's children. They saw their father swallowed into the ground. And they said, God's upset at him. How's he ever going to get out? So God said he repented and ultimately Korach's going to make it out. And the sons, They weren't comfortable with this situation. They said, yeah, well, who knows what's going to be. When they saw the gates of Zion swallowed deep, deep into the ground to the depths that their father was swallowed, and God promised, I will take those gates out and rebuild Zion, they rejoiced. They said, if God's going into the ground to take stuff out, when he takes out the gates, he'll take out our father as well. And that's why they sang a song about the swallowing of the gates of Zion. Because they said it's a good sign that they were swallowed. For us, it's good. Just like the maid that said, if your bucket fell, then I'm in good hands. And Rav Shlomo Fisher pointed out that this concept is really alluded to in their names. Their names are Elkanah, Asir, Elkanah, and Aviasaph. Those are the three sons of Korah. Asir literally means one who's held in bondage. That's what their father was. He's held in bondage on the ground. Elkanah, God sent out his wrath. And we have a tradition that God sent his wrath against the walls and the gates of Zion. God says, I will let out my wrath against stones and earth rather than humans. And that's why the city was destroyed and human life was spared. And just one second. And Avi Asaf, the last one's name is, our father will collect. When our father in heaven collects the gates from underground, he'll also collect them. That's what Fisher pointed out, that their names allude to this Medrash. Yeah.
When you mentioned Elkanah, is that the same Elkanah that's Hannah's husband in?
He's an offspring of theirs. He's a great-great-great-great-grandson of theirs. Shmuel's father, Elkanah, is a great-great-great-great-grandson of Korach's son, Elkanah. We're not singing about the destruction, so our sages tell us two things. A, that we sing about the destruction of the walls because we say that was a favor God did to the Jewish people. That really, up in heavens, we were judged for a much bigger destruction, a much greater loss of life at the time of the first destruction. Our sins merited that there would be greater havoc as far as loss of life down here. And God did us a favor that he said, instead of taking it out on humans, so to speak, I'll take it out that I'll make a destruction of the city like no other city was destroyed. That's what it says in Lamentations, that no city was destroyed like Jerusalem was destroyed. And therefore, there's no comfort for Jerusalem, because Jerusalem knows that no one else suffered like she suffered. And the second point is that the fact that God buried the walls, the gates, is a sign that God's saying, I'm still coming back. If it's a destruction with no future, then there's no need to bury the gates. The burial of the gates, we sing about that because that's a sign that God gave us that we're still coming back. That's one of the fears that the Jews had with the destruction of the first temple, because it was the first time that we suffered such a blow. We lost wars, but we never had a situation like that exile. And that's why the response to the first exile was so harsh. The Jewish people said, maybe God forgot us. Maybe God doesn't want us anymore. There was really concern, where are we standing in God's eyes? And in that sense, the first temple was harder, the first destruction was more difficult than the second. The second was already a lighter destruction in that sense. It was a heavier destruction in the sense that we're still suffering its ramifications.